we've got an appetite for sushi on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. No matter the ocean is over 1,000 miles away, no matter a flight from Wisconsin to Japan would take us about 18 hours in the air, we're on the ground here in Wisconsin and scoping out the best sushi around the state. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Screaming Tuna in Milwaukee, Soon's Sushi Cafe in Kenosha, and Fuji Sushi and Hibachi in Middleton are just a few of the sushi places Wisconsin has to offer, and they made it on Best Things, Wisconsin's 10 Best Sushi Restaurants in Wisconsin list. We're going to get down to making a sushi roll right away. We've got Jack Yip to school us. Jack is executive chef and co-owner of Red. That's a sushi restaurant in Madison. Jack, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's clear up any confusion right away. What is sushi?
So sushi, it's any things that you make with a sushi rice, and which is like the sushi rice is like a vinegar, salt, sugar, and some kind of like a kelp, and you mix it up with the sushi rice. And usually sushi rice is like a short grain rice, and any things that make with the sushi rice, they call it like a sushi. And most of the ingredient, it's raw fish, and some of them is like cooked stuff.
So, you know, there doesn't have to be raw fish in sushi, but when we think of sushi, we often do think of the raw fish in it.
Yes.
So we want to go behind the scenes with sushi making, and let's listen to a clip of one of your chefs making a few sushi rolls the other night.
So Francisco now, he's making a crunchy tuna and an avocado roll. So first, you know, he put the sushi rice into the seaweed. After that, you know, he putting a sesame seed. We mix it up with a black sesame seed and white sesame seed. It's toasted. It gives like a more flavor. So when he's rolling it, he makes sure like, you know, your one end of your seaweed touching the other end. The goal when you're rolling a sushi, you make sure like your ingredient inside is not loose. He's gonna cut his rolls to 8 pieces, but every single piece is supposed to be the same. So even sesame seed, every single bite, every single piece is supposed to be the same. That's the goal that we're always looking for.
Wow, that is uniformity. Every single piece of a sushi roll is supposed to be identical, even down to the sesame seeds. Is that right?
Yeah, totally. Sesame Street too.
Sesame Street too. So what are some of the other rules of making sushi that we might not know about?
Oh, I think people, when they think about making sushi, they already know that it's very technical. It's like it requires like a lot of training. Usually a sushi chef, they started like, you know, always like, you know, they started with washing the rice, and then they try, and then they start with like making the rice, and making the rice right, it's a complicated process. First of all, you know, you have to wash the rice, get rid of all the starch. You know, you got to like, you know, you got to cook the rice right. And after that, you have to, you know, put the vinegar into the rice and try to like, you know, coat every single grain of rice with a vinegar.
How long have you been a sushi chef?
Long time, more than 10 years.
What made you want to become one?
So I was going to college, and I was part-time in a sushi restaurant, and I saw my boss, you know, the owner of the restaurant, the Japanese restaurant, and I saw him making sushi, and I just fell in love with it, and because, you know, I was looking at him making sushi, and he, you know, I thought it's just so cool, you know, like how did he use one hand making a sushi, like a rice ball, and then put that rice ball into a piece of slice of fish, and his hand movement is just so cool, you know, and at the same time it tastes so good, and everybody knows that sushi is really good for you, you know, it has like a great ingredient, not much like a, you know, like a complicated sauces.
So you see the artistry in making sushi, and
yeah, definitely.
That's what really drew you to wanting to become part of that art form, if you will.
Yeah.
So what are the different kinds of sushi? Because there's you know, you can go different avenues on this.
Yes, I would say traditionally people, you started sushi, it's like more like just a rice, you know, like sushi rice, you know, on top of, you know, sushi rice, like fish on top of like a sushi rice. And that's like started like that. And just like the ingredients mainly is like a fish, like tuna, you know, like a yellowtail or like a red snapper or like a sea bass, things like that. And later on, kind of like, you know, like when I remember like when sushi started come to United States and people in California, they started making a creating a roll. It's called California roll, which is like a cucumber, you know, like a crab steak or like a crab, you know, with avocado and with rice and seaweed, and they cut into 8 pieces. So the rolls actually is created, you know, I would say the rice outside roll is created in the United States, and it becomes really popular in here.
So California rolls did originate in California.
Definitely.
And then they spread around the U.S. And now you can find a sushi restaurant even in small towns in America.
Yes.
Does that surprise you that it's become so popular?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really think that, I'm not really surprised, because it just tastes good, because, you know, Japanese cuisine is all about the umami, you know. It's like about the, you know, the taste, the art form, the artistry, you know, like when it looks good, you know, it tastes good, you know, definitely it's going to get popular. At the same time, nowadays, people, they care about their health, and sushi is really healthy food to eat.
We're talking about making sushi on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend, and want to know, where do you go to eat sushi? You can join in the conversation. Jack Yip is here. He is an executive chef and co-owner of Red, a sushi restaurant in Madison. He's walking us through the steps on what it goes into making sushi. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's the best sushi experience you've ever had in Wisconsin? Do you have questions about how sushi is made, or what different kinds of sushi there are? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Why is the meat, the fish raw in sushi?
Why? 'Cause from I think this is what I know. It's like, okay, so, you know, when you buy stuff from when you buy, for example, when you go to like certain grocery store, you know, or like a fish market, when you buy a fish, everybody know that there's a sushi grade fish.
Mm.
So usually sushi grade fish, they are very extremely high quality. It means like, you know, they everything is from the ocean, you know, like it's like a saltwater fish, and that's why they like to eat raw. And you know, it doesn't need to cook it that much. It has its own like a sweetness, its own like a texture. And sometimes when you cook a fish and you just change the texture a little bit, you know, you change the taste a lot. And that's why, you know, some in Japanese wants to taste the fish in its original form.
And why can't it be made with freshwater fish?
I mean, you can make it with freshwater fish, you know, like, but you have to cook it, you have to grill it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Don in Madison. Hi, Don.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. My husband and I just got back from Japan. We celebrated Christmas and New Year's in Japan with my daughter, who's teaching. And
cool.
We did try the sushi. It was great. We did actually spend time with a family there, a couple families, and one of the fishermen actually brought one of his massive fish to the dinner, had the raw fish, sushi. But I was looking for a really, really good, authentic, non-Americanized Japanese restaurant in Madison.
Great. Don, you live in the right city. You should come to Red and try our sushi, because our fish, most of them, they are from Japan directly. Sometimes, you know, we do like a omakase, which means like a chef table. And we, when we, you when you book the reservation, and we order the fish directly from a Tsujiki market in Japan. And the rice that we use, the techniques that we cook the rice, everything is very traditional. Of course, you know, we have the parts like, you know, very kind of creative roles, you know, something that, you know, people might look for if they don't want something too traditional. And the way that we make the sushi is, you know, dressed with like a sweet soy, you know, something like exactly something that you can find in Japan everywhere, like in sushi bar in Japan.
Jack Yip is with us, executive sushi chef, co-owner of Red, which is a sushi restaurant here in Madison. Learning about your favorite places to go eat sushi, 800-642-1234. What do you like about sushi? Is there a particular order you have for sushi? Share at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back after this news. Sushi was once considered exotic outside of Japan, but now sushi restaurants can be found all over the country, and we're exploring the ones here in Wisconsin on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. If you'll likely never visit Japan, the most authentic sushi in America can usually be located in coastal cities with large Japanese populations. Think Seattle, Los Angeles, Honolulu. Jack Yip stays with us as we explore this Japanese delicacy. He's executive chef and co-owner at Red, a sushi restaurant here in Madison. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Where do you go to eat sushi? What's been your favorite experience eating sushi in Wisconsin? Do you have questions about how sushi is made or what different kinds of sushi there are? 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jack, break down for us the different types of sushi.
So sushi, you know, in general, there are like a few types. First is like the just a fish on top of the sushi rice, and they call it like a nigiri. And then the second one is like a maki. It's like, you know, pretty much like seaweed rice and roll up with like a fish or other ingredient. And there's one more. It's called like a tamaki, which is like a hand roll, which is like you don't cut into any pieces. It's just raw the seaweed, and then you put the rice and then the ingredient in it, and then you just kind of like eat it. And usually, you know, you can, of course, when you're eating sushi, you can always like eat with your hand, or you can eat it with a chopstick.
And what is the most difficult sushi that you make? What is the one that challenges you the most?
I think all the beginner, they all start with making like a maki first. And I think the more advanced, after you learn, been trained for a while, and you start getting into making the real sushi, which is like forming a rice ball, and then you put in a little bit like a wasabi underneath the raw fish, and then you put the rice, you know, into the fish, and you make a shape. Traditionally, you try to make the sushi looks like a fan, when you look at it sideways.
So how long did it? How long did it take you to perfect this and really feel like you have conquered sushi, that you can make it with authority and you can, with the precision that is required, and you've got this?
It's all depends on the individual, and for example, perfections like depends on what I think is the best to serve the customer. And I think the best form, it's always like, for example, when you cut the fish, some of the fish you cut it thicker, some of the fish you cut it thinner. And every, you know, sometimes you need to put a little bit bigger rice into thinner fish, and a little bit smaller rice into thicker fish. So when you put in the plates, all the fish look exactly the same and same height, same width. That's the hardest part, and you have to make it fast. You cannot make a sushi dinner for like an hour, because you're gonna warm up the fish, and customers, they're gonna wait for a long time. Yeah.
Let's talk about warm, because Michael on Facebook says, rule of thumb number one, if you can smell fish, turn around, walk back out. Rule number two, if your sushi is warm, don't eat it. Is there anything that, what do you make of Michael's comments there?
I agree that fish, we always keep the temperature, you know, within like, you know, within like, for example, like, I would say the ideal temperature to keeping the fish is, which is like around 34, 35. You don't want it to be too cold, because, you know, when you put it in your mouth, the feeling is not that good, because like, you kind of feel like you freeze your mouth. And I would say the good temperature, I would say it's close to like, I would say like 38, 39.
Yeah. Talk about wasabi. Most wasabi outside of Japan isn't actually wasabi, I understand.
Wasabi actually means like wasabi root, which is a root vegetable in Japan. It's very expensive. I would say the market price now is like more than $100-$120 per pound right now. So when you go to like most of the sushi bar, and they have that, you know, they usually like it kind of like a, it comes with a bags of like a green powder, and basically it's like a horseradish. You mix it up with the water and so called they so call it like a wasabi. And due to like a, you know, price reason, you know, we do offer the horseradish, which is like usually comes with the it comes with every single rolls or the dinner, and or you can we do have option at Red that you can order like, you know, like a real fresh wasabi roots, which is from directly shipped from Japan as well.
So is it so expensive?
It's a little bit sweeter, and it doesn't have that kick like a horseradish. Why is it so expensive? It's very difficult to grow. And I heard that in United States, and we tried to grow the fresh wasabi. It just, I don't know, for some reason, it didn't work. And so everything's from Japan, and it's limited, and at the same time, it's very high demand. So that's why probably, you know, not enough supply and very high demand. That's why the price drives up so high.
Do you think horseradish is a reasonable substitute for wasabi?
So as a matter of fact, that even a lot of Japanese chefs, you know, horseradish is not bad at all. You know, sometimes very fatty fish, a lot of Japanese chefs, a lot of sushi chefs, they don't want to use a real wasabi root. They rather use a horseradish or mustard.
Why is that?
Because it's some of the really fatty fish, it tastes better with like a mustard or like a horseradish.
Yeah. So the sushi at Red isn't strictly traditional sushi, or it's a mix of different cultural influences?
So when I and Tanya, when we first opened Red, which is like 6-7 years ago, and we tried to bring the best ingredient, you know, to Madison, and we tried to satisfy all range of people, you know, like we serve like very traditional sushi, like for example you can order like a sushi dinner or a sashimi dinner or something like nigiri. You can order a la carte, or you can order something more creative, more fun, like California roll. And we do have like a seasonal roll, and we rotate them, we change the menu like 4 times a year on those seasonal rolls too. We try to satisfy everybody in this, you know, in this like a sushi eater or sushi, you know, customer.
So it's more like a fusion of different influences.
It does have a fusion influences at Red, and it does. But usually, you know, there's one thing that about sushi is, no matter what, you cut the fish the traditional way, and you cook the rice the traditional way. And the ingredient, it's always the foundation. And after you have the foundation of a great ingredient, and you compose it, whatever you want to compose, and you call that fusion. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Yeah, probably. And you mix it with like a suitable, like, you know, the sauces that the chef think that is good with a roll. Yeah, I think.
Jack Yip is with us as we explore this Japanese delicacy, sushi. He is executive chef and co-owner at Red, which is a sushi restaurant here in Madison. You can join in and talk about your favorite places to eat sushi at 800-642-1234. What's been your favorite experience eating sushi in Wisconsin? Do you have questions about how sushi is made or what different kinds of sushi are out there? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jack, what is your favorite sushi to eat?
I like to stick with, like, for example, sushi dinner. I like to taste different kind of fish. For example, tuna, yellowtail, salmon, striped bass, red snapper, you know, like things like that. And I really like the, you know, the tuna roll. And sometimes I really like the super volcano. It's like the world that
The super volcano?
Yes, which is like really interesting world, and we created like when we first opened Red, which is like a group of tempura, cream cheese, and avocado, and then topped with like a crab stick and sea scallop and shrimp.
Some sushi restaurants, you can go in and it's like the sushi is floating on a boat and right past you. What are some of the different creative ways that you've seen restaurants serve sushi?
Because, like, in a sushi restaurant-wise, you know, there's so many different kinds. And the traditional one is the one that, you know, for example, like the one that we have at Red. It's like, you know, when you order, we make it for you right away. Mm. Like the one that you just mentioned, like, you know, they put the sushi into like a little boat and they put on top of the, like, a conveying belt.
Conveyor belt. Uh-huh.
Conveyor belt. And this is kind of like just keep... like going around and around, and customer, they pick it. And those sushi, it's great. It's really, you know, a fair price. But there's one thing, it's like they don't make it fresh. Sometimes it's fresh, you know, but it just leave it in the conveyor belt, you know, for a long time. Sometimes the rice might get dry, the fish might get, you know, a little bit dry as well.
Let's go to Liz now, who joins us from Hartford. Hi, Liz.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
There is a new restaurant in Hartford that just opened last year called Ishiban, and they're very, very good. Very clean restaurant, very friendly staff, and we just went to try it, my husband and I, and have since, and that was probably about 4 or 5 months ago. And now we just forego our Friday fish fry and go there for our sushi.
Wow, Liz, that's quite a shift to go from Friday fish fry to a sushi exclusive.
Everything that we've had is delicious, and it is so beautifully served. We actually have taken pictures of it, and we're not phone picture people. Yeah, it's a really, really a nice place, and we're really, really happy to have it there in Hartford.
Well, Liz, I'm so glad you found your spot. And Jack, you know, you can make relationships with, if you find a sushi restaurant you really like, you can start, you know, it's establishing a relationship with that restaurant and the people who own it.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you talk a lot with your customers?
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I love about, you know, restaurant business or restaurant industry. It's like, you know, like people go to your restaurant, you know, we have so many regular customers, we talk to them, we know about them, you know, we say hi to them. And Tanya, my partner, is like, you know, usually she's, you know, she's so nice to the customer, you know, in the front, and she has so many, we have so many regular customers, she's the one always greeting them.
Do you try to get them to expand their palate with sushi? Because they probably tend to like particular things on the menu.
Yeah.
Do you ever try to steer them to try new things?
Definitely, because I still remember there was one customer, his name is George. He's like, I would say he's like around 60 years old. And he's really good friends with Tanya, my partner. And when he first went to like a Red, you know, like we started him, you know, when he first went to Red, you know, he started eating like steak, because we have a great like a New York strip, or sometimes filet mignon, sometimes like grass-fed beef. And you know, he started eating like a steak, and later on, you know, Tanya's like, you know, why don't you try this. And finally now, after, you know, after a few years, he loves to eat sashimi dinner, straight up raw fish, 8 different kind.
That's quite the transformation, but it did take a few years.
Yeah, No, I would say a few months.
Does sushi grow on you? Do you think it takes a while to get a taste for it, to get an appetite for it?
Yeah, everything develops. You know, you develop a taste, you know, gradually.
What is your favorite thing about being a sushi chef?
I like the, you know, I like the word perfectionist. You know, it seems like everything has to be exactly the same. You know, from it's a very repetitive job, and at the same time, you know, like you try to perform every day just like yesterday or a year before. You try to cut things exactly the same. At the same time, you try to maintain your standard. You know, like your rice has to be, you know, body temperature. You know, your rice has to be like not dry. It has to be like, you know, moist and al dente. At the same time, you know, your fish has to be like a nice color, fresh. You know, you always keep all your ingredient, you know, very like controlled, like environment. For example, like, you know, very good, like you have to keep your stuff in a really good temperature so that when you serve it to the customer, everything tastes good.
So earlier this month, an 890-pound bluefin tuna sold at Tokyo's fish market for $323,000. And if you had a piece of that, which is, you know, $800 a pound, what would you do with that tuna?
Oh my God. I mean, I would serve it to the customer. I think I would totally advertise it, and I would sell it to people who spend that much money to buy a piece of fish. I mean, like, who wants to eat, try like $800 per pound tuna?
How does the price of tuna get that high? I mean, is it just pure market demand? What is driving that cost up?
I would say, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and nowadays, you know, population is growing, and Japanese, like, sushi, it's, you know, that cuisine, it's getting really popular, and the ocean is limited supply. You know, it takes a little bit of time, you know, for the tuna fish to get like that big. That's why, you know, like whenever you catch, like, you know, like that kind of fish, usually, you know, supply is limited or even shifting like less and less, and your demand is getting higher. You know, of course, the price is going high.
And this is all wild-caught fish. Yep. You know, this is not something that can be farm-grown.
Yes.
And so that probably also drives up the cost. Have you been to a fish market and seen the bidding before?
No, I haven't. No.
Do you want to go and see it sometime? Or
I think not really. I think it's too intense. I like to go to, like, a fish market. You know, there's one in Chicago. There's one in New York. There's even one in, like, you know, California.
Let's go to Christina now in Glenwood City. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you. Well, I have an adventurous palate, and I will travel great distances for quality food, but I've never tried sushi. I do enjoy all seafood and sea vegetables, and I'll soon be celebrating my 60th birthday, so it's about time that I try it. And I'm thinking, boy, I'd love to go to your restaurant. So I'd like to know, what would you recommend for a sushi newbie? And then tell me more about your restaurant hours and then.
Christina, thank you. A sushi newbie. As we wrap up here, we're getting close on time, Jack. What would you recommend?
I would recommend, like, when you look at the menu, you know, our server, they can recommend you, like, anything that you like. I would say, usually, always go for the, when you look at the menu, look for the stuff that you want to eat, the ingredient you want to eat, and then start it from there. And sometimes, you know, we can do any kind of rolls without rice, without even seaweed. We can use it with soy paper, rice paper, or cucumber.
Lots of options. Yes. Well, Jack, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Jack Yip is the executive chef and co-owner at Red, a sushi restaurant in Madison. You can join in 800-642-1234. News is next. Sushi is a Japanese delicacy, a serving of vinegared rice, various cooked or raw fish, and pickled or unpickled vegetables are covered by the sushi rice and are then wrapped in the seaweed. We're learning all we can about sushi on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Kobe Sushi in Minocqua, Osaka Japanese Steakhouse and Sushi in Appleton, and Izumi's in Milwaukee are just some of the places you might go to eat it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to say about sushi in Wisconsin? Tell us where you go to eat it. Do you like sushi from the grocery store? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Carol Deptola is the dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and joins us now. Carol, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, can you tell us some sushi restaurants that you would recommend, some experiences you've had with sushi in Wisconsin?
Oh, sure. There are just so many places to go. And something that's interesting about some of the restaurants that have opened in Milwaukee anyway is that they are sort of a dual concept restaurant. You have places like Tynamite, which has all sorts of sushi, but also Thai food. And there's also Meiji in Waukesha, which is actually two rooms. One room you can get Sichuan Chinese food, and then the other is Japanese, including sushi. And also there's Kawa, newly opened, the second location in Milwaukee on the east side, that also serves ramen, which, of course, is also Japanese, but usually ramen shops kind of stand alone. It's combined with sushi here.
What do you think about these dual concept restaurant trends?
Well, you know, it's a good option, I think, for, groups who go out and not everyone is sure they want to have sushi. There's always something else for them. I think it's also probably a pretty good way to ensure traffic for a restaurant, just because sushi is so overwhelmingly popular. Maybe one concept won't draw, but the other will. So maybe it's sort of hedging their bets or a little bit of insurance or something.
When you eat at a sushi restaurant, what are you looking for?
Well, above all, I'm looking for high-quality fish, and you just want it to be very fresh-tasting. It's not like right out of the water or anything. A lot of the fish is frozen first, but it should have a very fresh, kind of from-the-sea sort of taste. And I'm looking at how well it's prepared. Is it cut nicely? I mean, there's so many sushi places that have opened, and it's really a skill, it's an art, and not all the people who work as sushi chefs have that much experience. So if it's looking a little raggedy or the cuts are too thick or too big and not very precise, that really takes away, because so much of it is about the presentation too. A lot of times I'll just order sashimi or nigiri sushi, which is just the fish draped over the rice, instead of going right to a roll, just to see how good the fish is and how well they can cut the fish.
Well, Beth on Facebook gives a shout-out to Kobe Sushi in Minocqua. Carl on Facebook says Far East in Appleton. Let's go to Laura now in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Laura.
Good morning. I was hearing fantastic things about a relatively new place in Stevens Point called Matsuya. So my husband and I went to try it out, and we had never been in a sushi bar before. And we walked in and felt very intimidated. But the staff was fantastic about teaching us, what everything meant and how to order and everything else. I think the food was delicious, but the best part of the experience was just having such a helpful staff that was willing to teach us the way, and that's not something we're accustomed to in an ordinary restaurant.
Oh, wow, Laura, thanks for that. And sounds like, Carol, Laura had the experience of, the sushi, it was made accessible to them. They were able to understand more about what they were eating.
Right. And, it should be that way in every restaurant. If there's something on the menu that you don't understand, the staff really has to be able to communicate what it is. Otherwise, how can you sell it? But that's good to hear. And no one should really feel intimidated about going to a sushi restaurant. They want you there. They're happy to explain things to you. And really, a lot of the menu, it might have the fish's name in Japanese, but it also will have it in English. So, you know, there's a learning curve with everything, but it's very easy to get through if you're a first timer.
Why does it tend to be so expensive?
Well, good fish is expensive. It just is. There are limited quantities and of some fish in particular, and it just is one of those ingredients that there's a lot of cost built into it. So, especially if they're using good quality fish, really high quality fish, it is going to cost more, and that's why sushi has always, traditionally been, it was more of a snack. It wasn't meant to be dinner because that would have just been too ridiculously expensive. But now, with the sushi rolls where there's fish but also, a lot of rice and vegetables and other things, it can be more filling and people do make dinner out of it, and it's not quite as expensive as if you were just ordering sashimi and sushi nigiri.
When you go to a sushi restaurant in the U.S., you'll find dishes like a Philadelphia roll, which has salmon and cream cheese. What are some sushi dishes you might find here in the U.S. that you probably just wouldn't find in Japan?
I mean, I think that's it. You see a lot of rolls sometimes with cream cheese or mayo and drippy sauces and just a million things. It's sort of like the American... just everything's over the top and supersized and just, restraint kind of goes out the window. It's like, how delicious can we make this by adding a bunch of things? So, yeah, finding like dairy products and sushi is, that's pretty American.
So if someone has never had sushi before and maybe they don't even eat a lot of seafood, where should they start and what dishes should they taste first?
Well, I think... If you don't think that you like raw seafood, you can go to a sushi restaurant and leave satisfied. There are all sorts of rolls that have vegetable or they have egg, but there also are a lot that have cooked fish. There's eel, which, maybe people who've never had eel before would go, are you kidding? But eel is just a very sort of neutral flavor. It's kind of a buttery fish. There are sort of like overfishing concerns and sustainability concerns. And I don't know, sometimes people want to avoid that. There is a restaurant in Milwaukee that does try to avoid fish that has sustainability issues called Screaming Tuna. But otherwise, there also are, you can look for rolls where it mentions tempura shrimp. And that means that the shrimp has been fried in a batter. So it's all cooked. Usually shrimp in a roll is cooked. But, it's always good just to ask, is the shrimp raw in this roll? And they'll tell you. So usually, if you want to ease into it with cooked seafood, that's a good place to start.
Well, Carol, thank you so much for being with us.
Entirely my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Carol Deptola is dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Earlier in the hour, we talked with Jack Yip, executive chef and co-owner of Red, a sushi restaurant in Madison. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. The word caviar conjures images of opulent luxury and the crashing waves of the Caspian Sea, not the lakes and streams of Wisconsin. Yet in the fall, Wisconsin waters yield the jewel-like egg sacs of freshwater caviar. Commentator Brett Laidlaw shares the story of his favorite local delicacy.
I first picked up a fly rod and waded into a cold Wisconsin trout stream more than 20 years ago. Ever since, I've hardly wanted to put down the rod or get out of the water. Fly fishing revealed to me an enchanting wild world of steep wooded stream banks leading down to sparkling waters. There were trout in those waters, and pursuing them changed the way I live and eat. It's extremely satisfying to leave for the stream with an empty cooler. Well, okay, there might be a beer in there. And to come home with meat, salad, and vegetables all from the wild. In preparing these splendid wild fish for the table, I like to use the whole animal. When I cook whole fish, I make a point of prizing out the dense, chewy cheek meat, a minuscule delicacy. In the autumn, if I'm lucky, another delicacy comes my way. Female trout entering the spawning season fill up with orange gold roe. If you harvest that roe and mix it with a little salt, you have a world-class treat, trout caviar. We serve these glistening, unctuous jewels with rye bread or buckwheat blini, sour cream or creme fraiche, and all due ceremony. Besides being rare and delicious, trout caviar is, for me, emblematic of the very best aspects of local seasonal eating. The French writer, Claude Lévi-Strauss, said that food is not only good to eat, but good to think about as well, and I love to think about what trout caviar represents. In trout caviar, I see something utterly local, but little known, usually disregarded or actually discarded, transformed into a unique seasonal delight. It's a transformation that occurs mainly through the simple act of paying attention, and in this case, the addition of a little salt. I should add that when it comes to trout stream delicacies, I'm an equal opportunity omnivore. I also relish the white milt strips from male trout of breeding age. Lightly floured and gently fried in butter, they are sweet and nutty. It was this simple marvel, this gift from the stream, that led me to compose the Trout Caviar Manifesto, which is brief, a single sentence. Our stuff is as good as anyone's stuff, and part of the reason that it's good is that it's ours. This isn't meant to promote a provincial attitude, but to counter the tendency of us modest Midwesterners to look elsewhere, to the coasts or across oceans, for the source of great food, not realizing how good we really have it here. That's why I sing the praises of Lake Superior herring, Wisconsin cheddar cheese, maple syrup, and the other underappreciated glories of our regional cuisine.
Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. You can find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. This hour of the morning show is produced by Colleen Leahy and Brianne Shasso. Brittany Williams provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the Ideas Network.